hallelujah. My hallelujah. I can't speak for nobody else's, but my hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, voices of praise. Amen. What a fitting song. If you would, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 17. An interesting story in the day in the life of Jesus. We're told beginning at Luke chapter 17, verse 11, by the inspiration of God and by Luke, these words are recorded. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? No one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner." Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith have made you well." We read into your hearing Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. This morning, we're simply talking about turn back thanks. Turn back thanks. Anyone who was raised by parents that wanted you to be respectful, I've heard the phrase of, if somebody has done something good for you, you ought to tell them thank you. We work with that with our children. We're working with that with my grandson. Just in the moment, when someone does something good for you, it's incumbent upon you simply to open up your mouth, part your lips, and say thank you. That was an incident. Almost got into an incident at the store. I got out the truck and was walking in the store. I wasn't really thinking, you know, I had something else on my mind. And a guy held the door open for me. And I saw it, recognized it, thought in my head, you know, thank you, whatever. I went on in the store. That dude came in there for me. Said I was rude. Said I should have told him, thank you. I said, okay, thank you. Sorry. My bad, you know, appreciate it. But there are some people who feel that way. If you don't express your gratitude at the moment in which they do something good for you. But you and I both know that there were times in our lives when Jesus had done something for us, whether we knew it or not. I want to suggest to you that we ought to turn back and give him thanks. In the story, we're told about a group of men who suffered with the deadly disease of leprosy. Leprosy was a living death. You were slowly rotting of the flesh. The only thing that would happen once a person was diagnosed with leprosy was that they had to leave the city. They had to leave the village. They had to live in the countryside. And so we're told that at least 10 men had found union and togetherness and fellowship out on the outside of town, all because of their leprosy. Their shared suffering had brought them together. They were united in their separation from others. Shakespeare, he says, misery acquaints a man with strange bedfellows. People who share similar sorrows, similar misery, similar troubles, similar trials tend to flock together. We see in this situation that these 10 men were bound together because of their common battle with leprosy. Leprosy had overruled their racial barriers. Leprosy had overruled their national barriers. Leprosy had even broken down the cultural barriers that had separated them. For you see, all 10 wasn't from the same hometown. All 10 did not graduate from the same high school. All 10 did not have the same upbringing. All 10 was not raised by the same parents. But the fact of the matter, the scripture tells us that one of them was a Samaritan. Yet they were together because of their suffering. In the text, we see that they were together in their desperate situation, which caused them to make a desperate plea. As Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem on the outskirts of town, he was hoping to get there without being bothered by anybody. But yet we hear not the familiar words coming from a group of lepers. Normally you would hear them shout out, "Unclean, unclean." And this would warn you to stay away. This was to let travelers and people that were passing by, when they hear the words "unclean, unclean," go away from the sound. But this time in their suffering, they heard it was Jesus coming through. I wonder who went out there and told this leprosy group, this group of lepers, that Jesus had power. Who told them that if they could get to Jesus, that Jesus could heal them? Who told them that Jesus had power over their leprosy? I don't know who told this group, but I know that Mother Teresa, she showed lepers had purpose. Mother Teresa once said that I see God in every human being. When I wash the leper's wounds, I feel like I'm nursing the Lord himself. The one time the news reporter went out to visit with Mother Teresa, and he saw her. She wouldn't stop what she was doing. She wasn't going to stop for no interview. He had to go and walk with her. And that day she was in a leprosy camp, and she was tending to the wounds of the lepers. It turned the reporter's stomach. He said, he couldn't hold it to himself. He simply shouted out famously, he wouldn't touch a leper for $1 million. Mother Teresa simply looked up at him and said, I wouldn't touch a leper for $2 million, but I will for the love of Christ. Yes, this is a dreaded disease that nobody but a person like Mother Teresa would even be willing to touch for the love of Christ. They shared their suffering. They brought their desperate plea. They thought about this man, Jesus could help them, and they cried out with a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Yes, believers are together in today, not because of our personal suffering. We come together in this sacred space, in this place. We come together in the suffering of Christ. We recognize that what Christ did on the cross, it benefits us. His suffering paid the sin price for all. And that's reason enough for us to give Jesus a turn back thanks. That's reason enough to know that he has already provided a cure for what ails us. We simply have to cry out to him. They were together in their suffering. They were together in their plea. They were together when they said, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, they were together in their obedience. The scripture said, as they went, Jesus said, go. And as they went, let's go back over there. Notice the sequence of events. Jesus said, go. And as they went, they didn't call for a meeting. They didn't call for a committee to break out and discuss this plan that Jesus had. They didn't even ask Jesus any further follow-up questions. Sir, we don't have no problem going to show the priest once we are clean. I don't have no problem going to Jerusalem and showing the priest the miracle that you have done in my life once we are clean. But they went simply together. Together in their obedience, they set out to do what the master said do. See, brothers and sisters, your faith requires action. You can't just simply say, I believe. You can't just simply cry out, Master, have mercy, have pity on us. Your faith has to take some action. And Jesus said, go. And as they went, just do it. It reminds me of that first miracle when Jesus, Mary told Jesus about the problem, and Jesus said, it ain't got nothing to do with me. But Mary turned to the servant and said, whatever he said, just do it. Just whatever he say, just do it. If you can close your Bible and just look at the words in red, whatever's in red, just do it. He said, go. In their faith, in faith, they were obedient. They set out. Now, I don't know if it was a simultaneous healing or was it a individual healing. I simply don't know if all 10 got blessed at one time or each one of them got blessed in their own turn. It could have went 10, 9, 8, 7, and as 7 got his blessing, 6 just waited patiently. I've been in that line before. I don't know about you, but I've been in the line waiting on my blessing. I've been praying and waiting on the Lord, and I've seen 10 get his blessing. I've seen 9 get his blessing. I've seen 8 get his blessing. I'm still waiting in line for my blessing, but I learned how to celebrate with others. If you learn how to celebrate with others, you can celebrate 10 times. You can celebrate multiple times when you learn how to celebrate with others without getting out of line. See, I ain't getting out of line for you. I'm going to stay in line because I need my breakthrough. So I'm going to wait my turn. I don't know if it was individual. I don't know if it was simultaneous. All 10 got their blessing. But one of them, verse 13 says, one of them broke protocol. One of them went against the crowd. One of them decided not to continue on with this group. One of them decided he's going his own way. One of them decided that he don't want to continue this bond. He don't want to continue this union. Once he got his healing, one of them decided he's going to turn back. He returned, decided that he's going to give Jesus the praise. He decided that he's going to go and thank God for what Jesus had done. Now, I don't know if he decided I'll go back to show the priest. But I do think that it didn't matter to him anymore. That wasn't the most important thing in his life. The most important thing in his life was not getting recognition for being healed. The most important thing in his life was recognizing the one that healed him. The most important thing to him was not getting recognition for his healing. The most important thing for him was getting recognition for the one who healed him. See, all the chief priests, all the priests could do was recognize, inspect, and certify that they were clean. All the priests could do is give them a certificate of good health. But this one, he didn't just want to be grateful for the miracle, but he wanted to recognize the miracle worker. He did not just want to recognize the gift of a clean bill of health. He wanted to recognize the giver, the one who gave him the blessing. And see, some of us, we're still worrying about our neighbors. We're still worrying about our friends. We'll hold our praise report until a group get around. But one of them decide, I'm going to praise God even if I got to do it by myself. Yes, yes. If you wait till Sunday morning for the piano to start playing to praise God, you waiting way, 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 way too long. You ought to praise God every day. Oh, you ought to praise God in the morning. You ought to praise God in the noonday. I don't need to ring around no flagpole to praise God. I can praise God all by myself. You know, I know a lot of people who take I-35, and some of y'all must like fussing. Y'all must like taking I-35 and showing up at the church mad and telling me all about it. Y'all must like it. Because the only reason I take I-35 because I know it's going to give me an opportunity to praise God. I'm going to be sitting in traffic. If I'm in a hurry to church, I just run through town. I come through Springdale. I get here quick enough. But when I want to praise God, I know I-35 is going to give me a chance. At some point on I-35, I'm going to have a choice between cursing and praising. And I have decided I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to decide, I have made up my mind that I'm going to recognize the one who gave me a ride. They were together in their suffering. They were together in their obedience, but they were different in their praise. One of them set out on his own. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back in order to praise God. And his praise got the attention of Jesus. Don't you know that Jesus customized blessings for us? Two people can grow up in the same household, but Jesus will tailor-make a blessing just for you. There is blessing that only you have, so no one else can shout with you for them. No, you didn't tell them your prayer request. How they going to know your praise report? How they going to keep up with it if you didn't tell them what you were going through? I remember a few years ago, I had to pick up a part-time job. I didn't want to do it, but I had to. And so I went and I was telling a friend, I got one that was like 12 hours over the weekend, didn't interfere with anything I was doing. I was going to just have to lose some sleep. You know, and I was like, I was a young man. I sleep when I'm dead. Now I'm a little older now. I sleep when I get tired. I don't When you're young, you say foolish stuff, you know. When you're young, you say, I sleep when I'm dead. Nah. Now I just stop and take a nap. And so I picked up this job, and I was really excited about it. It fit the need. It fit the financial need I had and all of that. And so I called up a friend of mine, and I was going to try to praise, get him to join me in this praise, and because he knew what I was going through. And I called and said, man, the Lord blessed me. I got this little part-time gig. He said, oh, no, Robinson. Oh, no, you got to get a job. I'm like, yeah, man, the Lord blessed me. Fits my. Oh, no, no, man, whoa, what's going on? You got a doctorate. You got a degree. Why don't you go do this? I said, well, I'm just following the Lord right now. He going to have to open doors, shut doors. I'm just following him. And right now, this is a blessing. He could not see the blessing that I saw it. He couldn't recognize that I saw what the Lord was doing in my life. God was making a way out of no way. God was blessing me. God was showing favor on me, and he could not see it. See, you can't get mad when other folk can't see your blessing. Don't fall out with folk when they don't understand your praise. God has blessed you particularly. God has blessed you personally. God has given you a tailor-made, customized blessing that nobody else. If you don't praise him, nobody else will be able to praise him for what he has done in your life. That's why Jesus said, if you don't, the very rocks is cry out to praise his name. And this one of them, he was different in his praise. He was different. He didn't care about the other nine. He was done with that. And the scripture said he was a foreigner. He was a stranger. Got the attention of Jesus, and Jesus says, now I know I passed out 10 blessings. Now, y'all may not be counting them, but I'm counting them. I knew it was 10 of y'all when I said go. Why is there only nine? Where are the other nine? We're not all 10 clean? Were your friends clean? You the only one? I sent out a tenfold blessing. Where I know 10 got clean. Where are the other nine? And you know, this Samaritan didn't even answer that question. Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? It raised the question that, you know, the other nine were Jews. They were going to the temple to show the priest, and so they'll get a certificate of clean bill of health. Then they could resume their lives. Wherever, whatever they was back, they go back home to their family, they go back home to their friends. And that's why they were going to get this certificate, so their life, their former life, whatever they lost, could be restored. But this Samaritan, this one, he had no benefit in that. Him getting a certificate of clean bill of health from the priest wasn't gonna get his job back in Samaria. Him getting a clean bill of health from the priest wasn't going to get back with his wife, wasn't going to get back with his kid, wasn't going to get back. Only thing, him, it wouldn't do him any good to go and show the priest. And so many people say, well, the other nine, they had all these other things. Except for one fact in this story. It is Jesus. It is Jesus that is asking about the other nine. And Jesus knows their hearts. Jesus knows their minds. He knows their thoughts from afar off. When he said go, he knew where they weren't going to return. But yet he reminding you and I, there are times when you and I need to break from the crowd. Is you and I need to break from the group, break from the dorm. And we need to turn back and give God thanks. I mean, when you think about it, there are times in your life you could just thank God for when I was a teenager. Thank God when I was foolish. Thank God that I didn't die out in them streets. Thank God I didn't, the things that I was trying, thought I'd live forever, that he didn't take my life. I want to thank you for your blessings back then. I want to thank you that I didn't fall out with the coach. I stayed on the team when other folk fell out with the coach and no longer played football for the rest of their life. I want to thank you that somebody taught me how to listen to the teacher, how to keep your mouth shut, and how to listen and hold up your hand. I want to thank God that somebody had enough patience and enough love for me that they'll take their belt out of their waistband and put it on my hip because they felt like I wasn't doing right. I want to turn back and thank God for somebody putting food on my table without me asking, putting water in my cup without me asking, for somebody providing me with a bed. I want to look back and say, Lord, I want to thank you. When I was traveling those airways, you protected me. When I was landing in a far land, you watched over me. When I was separated from my loved one, you kept me. I want to look back, Lord, and say, Lord, I want to thank you. Because I was too mean back then. I was too naive back then. I didn't know how good you were to me back then. And so I just want to turn back. Amen. And every now and then, even when my nouns are not great, even when my todays are not great, even when I wake up in the morning and I feel an ache in a new spot, I can still say, Lord, I thank you. Because when I look back over my life, you healed me when I was sick. You lifted me when I was down. You protected me when I was in danger. You brought me out when I was too far in, and you brought me in when I was too far out. And I just want to turn back and thank you. I didn't thank you enough in high school. Lord, thank you. I didn't thank you enough in college. I want to thank you. I didn't thank you enough when I was in my 30s. Lord, I want to thank you. There comes a time, even if your today ain't the best, you ought to be able to look back over your life and simply say, Lord, thank you. A turn back thanks. May God bless you and may God keep you this morning. At this time, we want to extend the invitation. There may be someone here today who have not made a decision to follow Jesus. If you're making that decision, we ask that you come right now. As the ushers and deacons come, they're here to escort you. They're here to walk with you. You do not have to walk alone. We invite you to come. We invite you to join Ebenezer Third Baptist Church, a place where we believe in prayer, we believe in serving the Lord, and we believe in caring one for another. And if you're online right now, you could put a word in the chat. We would definitely respond to you because we don't want this day to go by, this time, this opportunity for you to express your appreciation, show your obedience, put your faith in action, because Jesus says, come. Will you come? Will you come?
Oh, I know that I
make it, I can make it.
I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. You don't have to worry, and don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning, troubles they don't last always. For there's a friend in Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, oh, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. With Jesus I can make it. With Him I know I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. With Jesus I can make it. With Him I know I can stand.
To extend, it was yours to accept. May God bless your life.